Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Will Broadford, the Marketing Director, and James Murray, the Event Director at Brintex, the people behind the London International Wine Fair. How are you, James?
Very good, thank you. Very good.
Excellent. And Will?
All good, yes indeed.
Excellent. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the London International Wine Fair. I did introduce it as Brintex, though, which is a people may not have heard about it. If you're in the wine trade, you would have certainly heard of London International Wine Fair. But Brintex, well, let's start with that. What is Brintex?
Brintex is an event organising company. So we run a number of exhibitions and events within different industry sectors. That said, the largest and the highest profile event that we run is the London International Wine Fair and Distill.
Okay, and you say and distill. We'll get onto that in a minute because distill is just slightly different, but sort of the same, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, in summary, distill is our spirits area alongside the wine fair. The largest part of our sort of exhibiting community are our wine producers, agents, distributors.
Mm. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Brintex for a second. When did you guys start out?
1963. So quite a bit of heritage and one of the largest independent organisers in the UK.
What do you mean by independent? So
we're a private business.
Oh, okay. Who owns the company then?
It is a family.
Yep.
A brother and sister at the helm, John Hemming and Louisa Service. So lots of history to the business, over 100 years old, mm-hmm. if you take into account our publishing side of things as well.
Okay, because you're right next door to Random House, I noticed, as well. It's nothing to do with them?
No, we're much more sort of business-to-business publishing and events. That's the sort of nature of the business.
Okay, so the events sort of fall out of your publishing business, does it?
To an extent, although interestingly within the wine and spirits industry, we don't have any publications at all, which we always feel is a strength because we're able to work with all of the relevant publishers, you know, and sort of media outlets within the wine and spirits sector.
Oh, fair enough. Let's have a look at the London International Wine Fair. How long has that been running for?
Oh, gosh, we're into 32 years now. So from humble beginnings above a department store in Kensington.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was...
Was it called the International Wine Fair back then?
I think it was just called the London Wine Fair.
Yeah.
And it was a handful of stands literally above a department store. Derry and Toms was the name of it. It's just grown and grown, and we've moved venues a few times. The last big change was 10 years ago, just over.
It was Earl's Court, was it?
Olympia, yes, yeah. Indeed, yeah. We went from Olympia to Excel in 2002. And have been there ever since, so it's been around for quite a while.
Yeah, it's quite a big place to walk around. I always walk the place in the first morning, and that takes up pretty much the morning, really.
Yeah, I think in terms of the size, we wouldn't want to be too much bigger. You get to a scale which is almost unmanageable for visitors. It's scalable enough that there's plenty for people to see and plenty for people to taste. So we've got that sort of diverse mix on a manageable level. The move from Olympia really was as a result of sort of outgrowing Olympia, but we also found that with the glass ceiling on a hot May day, the wines were bubbling and it was getting quite hot and sweaty and quite difficult to do business. So XL is a little bit more of a sort of purpose-built venue that allows business to happen and allows us to run an event at the scale that we do.
What are the type of people who come to the London International Wine Fair?
Well, we're 100% trade. That's the important thing. Every visitor who walks through the doors has a trade connection to wine and spirits. That could be quite varied, in fact. As you'd imagine, there's an awful lot of merchants walking through the doors, mm-hmm. independent merchants, people working for off-license chains, shops, supermarkets, that side of things. But there's an awful lot of on-trade visitors as well. And by on-trade, of course, we mean those people who work in restaurants, supermarkets, restaurants, bars, hotels, pubs, anywhere where wine primarily is served and then consumed on premise. And these guys, yeah, they're bar owners, they're restaurateurs, they're sommeliers, of course. They make up probably, I'd say, a quarter of the entire visitor audience. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you've got the sort of trade at large, people involved in import, people involved in packaging, glass even, design, all the different marketing services that would go side by side with the trade. And then there's a large number of overseas visitors as well, who we kind of treat slightly separately to the UK standard visitor.
I remember we had the volcano in Iceland a few years ago, which sort of took off just as everybody was about to arrive.
We've been unlucky. We've had volcanoes in recent years. We had tube strikes last May, and swine flu was the other one.
Yes.
I think we're due a clean bill of health this year. But international buyers are usually, you know, they're usually very, very important to any major trade event. They add a level of stature to a trade event. And we created something called Club Elite, which is basically a VIP buyers club, of which a lot of these buyers are members, and we give them sort of special treatment to try and enhance their visit. And that's proved very successful in getting the likes of the Swedish monopolies, Systembolaget, you know, big German importers over, American retailers. You know, we work hard behind the scenes making sure that these sort of multi-international players are coming and getting benefit from the fair, just as we do someone with an independent wine store in the home counties.
I suppose from an exhibitor, you know, if you can get into one of the Norwegian monopolies, then that's worth quite a bit of money to them.
Only a year or so ago, Systembolaget, I think, was considered the buying monopoly for Sweden, the single largest buying group in the world.
Oh, okay.
So to have their buying team using the show as a method of sourcing new product, doing their business, which they do every year, is a fabulous opportunity for exhibitors looking to expand into that market. And the same goes for all of Scandinavia. We've been told that the morning of the fair, the 7:30 flight out of Stockholm might as well be reserved purely for the wine fair, because everybody from all the monopoly buyers and the big importers are on one aeroplane, and they reckon the business starts in the departure lounge before they've even made it to City Airport and XL. So
oh, really?
Yeah, it's powerful. It's big stuff.
Yeah, okay. And before we drill into sort of more about the exhibitors and some of the things you guys want to achieve out of the shows and this year's coming show, who do you compete with? You know, I know of Pro Wine, and we talked about Bordeaux. You have Vinexpo. I've got to get myself down there one year. But, you know, Vinexpo, and then there's some events setting up in Hong Kong, isn't there? So
yeah, I mean, I guess on the global stage, the obvious one is Pro Wine. In Düsseldorf, obviously Vinexpo running every couple of years. I think, if I'm to be honest with you, the shows in Asia are tremendously strong and pull in very good audiences from that region, whether they be based in Hong Kong or perhaps more on a regional basis in China. So I think we're realistic about our ambitions of pulling Asian buyers to the UK. Mm. That said, Pro Wine in Düsseldorf is a very strong show. Does very well in delivering audience from perhaps closer to home. We'd probably put them in the sort of competitive bracket. But then in terms of our domestic audience, yeah, there's lots of events running in the UK, so we have to work tremendously hard to deliver that extra difference and that extra bit of value, for our paying exhibitors and our visiting buyers.
What I like about this, you know, you get a lot of trade tastings for, you know, wines of all over the place. Is that sort of what you would consider a competitor, or?
I guess it's all part of the sort of competitive mix. One would hope that by getting involved in perhaps the generic tastings, it provides people with a platform to trade in the UK and even more of a reason to come to London. But ultimately, everything comes out of a central pot of money. Yeah. So people have to prioritise what they do.
And how many people do you get coming down from Scotland or North England? Is that a big pull, or is it, when you talk about sommeliers, is it just the people down the east end of London that are cruising in?
We're very realistic. If you were to divide the attendance from the UK into bands, if you like, mm-hmm. then clearly the closer you get to London, the wider those bands become. That said, if wine and spirits are central to your business, and of course there are many, many people for whom that is true right across the UK, then this is really your only opportunity to get everything under one roof. We work very hard on additional content at the show, so not just the exhibitors and the wines themselves, but the programs of seminars and tastings, masterclasses, briefings, and we try and make these as attractive enough to ensure that if wine and spirits are that important to you, you know this is something you can't afford to miss.
Yeah, Will's absolutely right. And in fact, that is, in our minds, one of our biggest sort of challenges and opportunities for 2013 is the domestic marketplace and how we pull more visitors from further afield. So we've got quite a lot of initiatives in place that we think is going to deliver that sort of, yeah, that extra value for the exhibitors. So yeah, it's exciting with a couple of months to go.
Cool. All right. And let's talk about this year's show. I noticed New Zealand weren't going to be attending first year for a long time that they haven't attended, but they've pulled out of various shows off and on over the time. Do you know why they've done that? Or
yeah, I mean, it's difficult. If you look at the international pavilions that we have, behind the scenes, they all operate quite differently. And also, they're at a different level of maturation. So certainly New Zealand's very strong in the UK, very established. So a lot of the producers already have sort of agents and representation over here. So for some, they may come with their sort of UK partner. The one thing I do know with New Zealand is that they don't have the benefit of any funding to set up their pavilion at the show. Other countries do. Yeah. So what it means is that to have a significant presence, that cost has to be shared between a lot of producers. And unfortunately, this time around, they just couldn't get the sort of critical mass to ensure that it was cost effective for everyone involved. That said, as a result, yeah, we've had a number of producers coming to us directly. So we're currently looking at trying to sort of, book a few of those guys onto the floor plan. But they are at a generic level. They're the sort of exception to the rule. It's frustrating. You know, it's disappointing. But yeah, we have to respect the fact that to achieve what they were looking to achieve, there has to be a tipping point in terms of the budget available for people to get involved on a sort of national pavilion basis.
But you do have all sorts of odds and sods around. I remember last year there was a Russian sparkling wine producer there, yep, in, which is the first time I've sort of seen that sort of coming along. What I quite like, because we record a lot of shows at the event, is that there is, if you get a generic tasting, you get wines from there. Whereas your show, you've got all sorts of weird things. You know, last year I recorded some shows with label makers, people selling kit for labels, just because it's a bit of a strange one. And the glass manufacturers, obviously, all sorts of people. The Benevolent Society were there, which is even, I wouldn't have necessarily expected to see them take a stand somewhere. So there's quite a lot of quirkiness in the show as well, which you don't get perhaps at some of the generics.
Yeah, no, you're right. We're not exclusively wine. It's everyone involved in the trade. At the supplier end, and sort of going back to what you were saying, if you do then focus in on the wine, which is the largest part of the show, we really do believe that it's a tremendous voyage of discovery. Yeah, whether you're store staff in a Majestic, retail outlet, or you're a buyer for a supermarket, or you're a sommelier from a restaurant, you've just got this tremendous opportunity for discovery. Yeah. And there really isn't anything in the UK that can offer that breadth of diversity. And of course, it's very, very tasting driven as well. So the opportunity to sort of compare and contrast is huge.
I find that there's too much wine to even contemplate getting through it all. You know, I just, when I'm there, I allow certain slots to taste, or I'm going to taste for 2 hours here, I'm going to taste for 3 hours there or whatever. And I just do what I need to. I find I need to be quite meticulous about it and planned about what I want to taste. So I walk the floor the first day, but then I use that as an opportunity to work out where I'm going, because you just can't get around the whole thing, I think. Mm-hmm. How do you think people should approach the show?
You're right. I think if everybody had the opportunity to walk the floor, which I love that expression, for day one, and just sort of make an agenda for day two, it would be a real luxury. Quite often, of course, people have a window of opportunity, especially if they're in the on-trade and they're getting out between service. They've got a busy restaurant to run at the same time. So we do whatever we can to make it easier for them pre-show in their planning. Most of this is, as you'll probably won't be surprised, is online. It's web-driven. We're launching an app this year to help people to connect
on Android
with content.
As well as?
It'll be on Android, yeah, all the platforms.
Okay.
Got it.
What about Windows?
Yeah, don't test my knowledge of app technology. We're assured it's going to work.
Okay.
I seem to recall from the paperwork it's iPhone, BlackBerry, Android. I can't answer the Windows question.
So, it's all about pre-show planning.
What will the app do?
The app will allow you to build bespoke lists, essentially, of people that you want to go and see. You can build your own agenda in terms of wines you want to try, of sessions and seminars you want to take part in, appointments and you want to physically make to meet with winemakers or suppliers. I guess it's like a mini self-made agenda in your own pocket. The website is kind of an extension of that. We've worked hard to put together an initiative we call The List in recent years, where we're trying to catalogue every individual wine at the show, which is quite a task when you've got 10,000-20,000 being exhibited over the 3 days. But, you know, for a busy sommelier, if they know exactly which holes they want to plug in their wine list, and they can drill right down into the volume, the strength of the wine, or the region, then it can save a lot of time.
It's a bit like Tasting Buddy. I remember...
Driven by Tasting Buddy.
Oh, okay. It's those guys, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Because they did do their stuff a wee while ago. I remember looking at Tasting Buddy as an app years ago, but that was before smartphones were particularly smart. They were pretty dumb back then, and it was a bit clunky.
Yeah, this is... I don't think we'll be able to deliver the sort of power search function in our first year via the app. So this will be through londonwinefair.com. But as Will said, it's a phenomenal tool because it really does drill down in terms of percentage alcohol, region. There's loads of information there that allows you to at least sort of shortcut the wines at the show and come with a little bit more focus. We've also got dedicated exhibitor search functions on the site based around those companies that are selling to independent retailers, for example, those companies that are selling to the on-trade, those that are exporting outside of the UK, and a tool that we've sort of branded as the Winefair Matchmaker is basically designed for anyone who's looking to sort of find new wines to import and represent at the show, be they coming from the UK or overseas, and marry them up with relevant producers that are hungry to do business with them. So technology has more and more a part to play for us at the Wine Fair.
What new exhibitors have you got this year?
Yeah, there's lots going on. It's a tough one because a lot of our new exhibitors actually come with our more established pavilions. So we're sort of compiling the lists at the moment, and it's quite difficult to spotlight everyone. And we've come close to ticking the box in terms of most emerging markets. But there's always a few surprises coming our way. Certainly at a sort of larger level, we're really pleased that D&D Wines are coming back. There's a whole raft of smaller wine producers who are coming on stream, partly within our small independence pavilion, which is very focused at the sort of, you know, the volume boutique end, but also sort of dotted around the show as well. Hard to spotlight lots of new international pavilions just because we sort of over the years tick the boxes with most of them.
Brazilians coming back?
I don't really feel that I can call them emerging markets anymore because Brazil, Turkey, have worked really, really hard in terms of gaining more market penetration. And they're sort of they're almost in our mature bracket now in comparison to many of the, Eastern European countries that come along. They're back in strength. And it sort of goes full circle to the conversation we were having earlier about discovery. There's lots to find, whether you're looking at, really sort of, mature old world New World countries, as well as those up and comers.
It usually has some quite nice stuff. I think there was Vin de France is a reasonably new category in France anyway, wines from anywhere in France basically. And I think there was a top 100 Vin de France wines last year, I think it was. Am I going to write?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
And I thought that was quite good because it gave people like myself a chance just to say, all right, we've got this new category. What the heck's going on here? Let's have a look at it. And I wouldn't say I tested 100 of them, but I got through a good 20 or 30 of them, which is a fair old crack for me in an afternoon. You said that lectures and some of that sort of stuff is quite important, particularly for the trade, and I always sit on a few of them. What sort of things have you got this year that you think might be a particular highlight?
Yeah, I guess the analogy I give is, we couldn't have the show without the exhibitors. Yeah, it's a slightly different model to a show like Provine, for example, where they charge, 30, 40 euros to get in. Our visitors don't pay a bean. So, of course, our funding, our investment, if you like, comes from our exhibitors. Yeah, and they are our advertisers, if you like. And just like any good magazine, you need the sort of editorial to go with the advertising. And that's our sort of ethos with the wine fair, is to provide really compelling content, that ensures that any business that comes does generate benefit on the back of it. So they can meet good suppliers, but they can also sit in on briefings and tastings and lots of different events. The new things that stand out to me this year, we have the Discovery Tasting, which is in partnership with the International Wine Challenge. That will be wines that have entered the Wine Challenge but that don't have representation in the UK. And they are relevant for independent retailers looking to import directly, on-trade, the same, multiple retail outlets. And there will be over 1,000 wines available to taste in there. And they will be set out by country and by style of wine as well. Yeah, which I think will really be a sort of a hub of activity, and I think prove quite interesting for visitors. At an independent retail level, we've worked really hard with off-licensed news magazine, and we're putting an independence lounge together. Will touched on our Club Elite program earlier, but we want independents to feel welcome to the show as well. And so there'll be a lounge available to independent retailers. There'll be business clinics running in there. For 150 lucky retailers, we're also putting up a £50 bursary to cover travel costs of coming to the show and the associated costs of covering the business while they're away. Yeah. And hopefully that will pull in visitors from further afield. Crikey, the list is sort of never ending. We've got an evening awards on the Tuesday with Harper's, which is again designed and focused towards merchants as well as the on-trade, but acknowledging the trade at large as well. We have the finals for the first time at the fair of the UK Sommelier of the Year competition as well.
Oh, okay. Was that, is that an exam or a...
It's organised through the Academy of Food and Wine Service, and we will welcome the 6 semi-finalists to the show on the Tuesday, the Wednesday. They will sit through a variety of tests, including written tests as well as oral tests. In the afternoon, it'll be whittled down to 3. Who will have to perform on stage in a sort of mock restaurant situation, really
that
put through
up
their
the images of Basil Fawlty.
Absolutely, and it's interesting because I think the customers are actually previous award winners previous finalists and winners of the Sommelier of the Year competition. So I don't think they hold back in terms of putting these guys through the paces. And then at the end, the announcement will be made as to who is the UK Sommelier of the Year. So that's exciting for us as well.
And Jared Bassier is the current person, isn't he? He's an international sommelier.
He is world sommelier, yes.
Is he competing this year or is he...
No, he's organising. So he's going to be relishing the opportunity to put these guys through the paces, I'm sure.
Okay, sounds like fun. I think we'll wrap it up there, Will and James. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.